you know, I'll be honest with you, Jerry. I think these things sort of, I'm sure when you guys negotiate all your big deals with your company also, you guys realize sometimes these things take longer, than you would like. But, you know, I always felt good about getting it done. You know, when it happened, you know, it happened last week, and it all came together. You know, we had conversations, obviously, since early in the off season. It just kind of came together last week or the week before that. And, yeah, it was good, and it's nice to have it done before we get here. You know, I think he's excited, we're excited, and I think hopefully the fans are excited, and here we go.
Deductive reasoning tells you that's Omar Khan talking about T.J. Watt and his new deal, and you'd be right. At the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Tomorrow for the first Steelers training camp practice in Latrobe, looking like it'll be 89 degrees and sunny. That is Fan Weather, brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Myers Law Group, the sponsor of Judge Donnie at 5:30. We will be debating, are the Steelers a playoff team in 2025 with Judge Dom presiding over the case?
I like this power. By the way, it's Horwitz. You said it wrong on the headline, but just thought you'd like to know.
Thank you.
What did he say?
Horowitz.
Oh, like Barry Horwitz, the old jobber from WCW.
Yeah.
You don't think it's still pronounced that way and he just dropped the O?
I think he said that he prefers it Horwitz.
Okay. He just dropped the O?
Well, maybe not him personally, but maybe somewhere, someone along the way in his family did.
Kind of like Travis Kelce, how his last name's really Kels, but now it's Kelce. Like one of those situations?
Connor Sherry versus Sherry.
Well, Sherry thing was very, you know what? That's like when you put Trubisky at the bottom of the lineup and he didn't say anything, you knew it was a bad sign. When Sherry did not actually tell people, this is how my name is pronounced, which was Sherry, that should have been a dead giveaway about him.
No distractions in camp as far as hold-ins go this year with the Watt deal done, so that's not looming over this team. It can be about football. I do think Khan is putting, he's putting the right spin on this, like, hey, everything worked out in the end, no hard feelings, we got a deal done. I think if Khan had been left to his own devices, he would have continued to play hardball. I do think this is a situation where it's the opposite of the last time. When Watt was fed up with things, he stormed in and said, I'll just sign the deal, I want to play. I think this time Tomlin got involved. Just kind of, I'm not reporting this per se.
Are you
just
hearing
based
this?
On some of the things I've heard make me think, Mike was like, let's do this. What are we really arguing about? What are we really haggling over? Let's do it.
I mean, I had heard
he was the one that brokered it in the end.
Well, I don't like that because that's him also getting another thing locked up in another side of the ball, his side of the ball, happier. I had heard, though, that it's just interesting because I had heard that he did not have the kind of role people might have thought he would have in the Minka deal, that was much more of a Khan and other people situation.
Well, we do have some thoughts from Omar. His first comments, let's see if he comes off that way as a guy that pulled this trigger more than Mike did. This is an intern. Jack was the one who poured over Omar Khan. He went and
Pony. I saw him back there at the computer and he was like staring this close to the screen, yes, like inches away.
We have intern Jack to thank for all of these Khan clips from a few minutes ago. Here is one on the Ramsey trade process.
So, before you make these type of decisions and, you know, you seal the deal, you know, you like to have the opportunity to, you know, you have a conversation with the agent or sometimes the teams give you permission to speak to the player directly. And, you know, we are always going to be very transparent about what our expectations are, what are the roles, what the role is going to be. And, yeah, you know, it's if both sides didn't feel comfortable, we wouldn't have done it.
All right, so that's him saying, obviously, in order to facilitate this trade, he and Mike had to talk to Ramsey about what he was signing up for, because we know that he is...
It's a big personality.
He's not unlike Minka in that he really is not going to, you know, just give you like a yes, sir, that's all good, I'll do whatever you want situation.
He is unlike Minka in that... He will say it publicly. Minka kept most of it under
with both
wraps.
Teams when he got traded from the Dolphins to the Steelers, and same thing with getting traded back there.
Ramsey is just as disenchanted as bullheaded as far as like, this is what I think I should do, but he will absolutely not be a shrinking violet in public about it.
I think we have one more from him on that trade here. Let's see. No. This is labeled from Jack Khan on filling free safety role. Let's see if he mentions Ramsey as a possibility there in this answer.
We signed Juan. You know, that's not to say we won't look to see what else is out there, but part of being a training camp is for us to kind of figure out and get to know the players that we have and see how those roles are going to take, how they're going to come together. And, you know, I'm sure you guys will ask coach throughout training camp about how these guys are progressing and what he's seeing. But that's really what training camp is, to help us sort through all that.
Not a ringing endorsement on Thornhill.
If I were Juan Thornhill, I'd hear that and go, oh,
well, we
crap.
Have someone who has a pulse and is alive and breathing.
We brought in Juan Thornhill. That doesn't mean we're not actively looking constantly for a player who is better than Juan Thornhill.
Yep. That's how I heard that too. He was asked about, let's see, I think there's another one on more moves here. Do I have
How'd
that?
Jack do with these so far? Are these labeled in
pretty,
a way that
I
you're able to
good,
you're
yeah.
able to read?
I think okay. pretty good. This is Khan on off-season plan. No, is that going to give me an answer I want? All right, let's listen to that one. Here he is on what they went about doing this offseason.
We lay out a plan. You know, obviously coming off of last year, which was disappointing the way it ended, we had a plan, an idea of what we want. We had a vision of what we wanted this team to look like. And, you know, to tell you there that we laid out a plan and everything happened 100%, you know, that wouldn't be honest of me to say that. But we think it came together pretty nicely. We filled some needs and we acquired some players that are, you know, Steelers. You guys heard me use that phrase before. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it was 100% the way we planned it. And I don't think that's the case for anybody, but it came together.
And I think Aaron Rodgers might be part of that.
As in he wasn't originally part of the plan?
Yeah, I mean...
Do you think Omar wanted him, or do you think he wanted Fields back?
I think Omar would have preferred Fields. I think Tomlin wanted Rodgers.
I think the owner wanted Fields back.
But the owner also made a comment about how you needed to, like, be a pocket quarterback to succeed, and we know that Fields isn't that.
The owner sent
there.
A very mixed message. He said, I would like to have one of the two quarterbacks that was starting for us last season back under contract next year, and then, oops, went 0-2 there. I never believed it about Wilson. I thought that always referenced Fields.
Right.
And the owner maybe just doesn't know what he wants. I also think besides Tomlin says, hey, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, all-time great, et cetera. It was a pain in the ass to run a defense against him. I think the owner might also be a guy who's getting kind of suckered in by, like, it's Aaron effing Rodgers. Like, he's a four-time MVP. He goes to the special wing of the Hall of Fame with the great, 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 great players. He is, by definition, by career, will be viewed as a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger, who we all, you know, he might even be viewed as better than Bradshaw by a lot of people just because he has four MVPs. And so I think it's easy, even though he's 41, for people like Art Rooney to get suckered into that a little bit.
Because I think Tomlin's the one that's telling him those things.
But
and
I mean, they're
they
like,
put ample trust in Tomlin and belief in him. Like, I'm saying...
The problem is that he's not that player anymore. That's his resume.
I know, but I think Mike still believes that that guy is in there. And he's let the people around him know that. And they're not like us, where we're cynical and skeptical of Tomlin's opinions on quarterbacks. They still treat what he says about football as gospel inside the Steelers' facilities.
Shouldn't treat what he says about quarterbacks as gospel.
Here is Khan on if there's any more moves to make. What else is out there? Is there still meat on the offseason bone?
In terms of extensions, there's nothing going on right now. You know, could there be a player maybe that we think about? Sure. I mean, that option's still available. You know, I think you all said about acquiring other players. You know, I'll be honest with you. Like, we made a lot of moves this year, and I feel really good about where our team is right now. So to say that we're out there trying to find someone, and that's not the case. You know, if an opportunity comes available, you know, we'll look at it. But I feel really good about it.
If you take him at his word there, that means he doesn't like the scraps that are left in the free agent market. If you take him at his word.
Which is weird given some of the players that are still out there at positions they could use a guy.
Like, that's not him shutting. They're never going to shut a door publicly. But I'm going to infer there that they could still upgrade at wide receiver, at safety, maybe bring in an offensive lineman, but it's going to be based on what happens with other teams' rosters when we get to cutdown day. Who becomes available in a trade? Who gets straight up released? Who you like more than the guys on your team?
They definitely have a list of those guys already that like they think could get chopped.
Yeah, and I don't know anything. Absolutely. Like, I'm not saying this with any kind of inside knowledge, but they either don't think these receivers are good enough.
Well, that's the one that gets me.
Or they think they're too expensive. I will say this, and maybe like something will happen that takes what I'm about to say and makes it a moot point. But I did hear that the Gabe Davis experiment here was more about something he did on his own than the Steelers being interested in him.
So he like tried to reach out to them.
Like, hey,
he
his agent said, hey,
he facilitated it.
Yes. Hey, can my client, can my player come tour your facilities and check things out? And they said yes. It was not them
being very interested in Gabe Davis. He's also coming off of an injury. There was all the other stuff.
Yep. I also really didn't look great. Both how he performed and whatever workouts they put him through, and also just he didn't look like he was in football shape.
Oh, good. The one that I'm going to be on the wide receiver front, the one that I'm going to be continuing to scratch my head about is Amari Cooper, who nobody, and I'm scratching my head partly not just because they have ignored him.
The whole league has. It's like whatever happened in Buffalo last year gave him a scarlet letter.
Did you watch Buffalo games and go, man, that guy looks like he can't play? I did not.
He looked like he was not on the same page with Allen whatsoever.
Okay, but how could that give a guy a scarlet letter across the league? Sometimes players just don't mesh well with other players. And then my God.
Yep.
The guy's considered, I would think, one of the crispest route runners of his last 10 years
or so. Yeah, the year before that, he had 1,200 yards and toasted the Steelers and still looked like a great player.
That one's going to have me scratching my head. Maybe other bigger ball knowers than I can explain that.
Well, here is Khan on their wide receiver room. Let's see if he makes it out to be the greatest thing ever like he did last year when he was talking up Van Jefferson.
Yeah, I feel really good. You know, obviously, we traded for DK. DK is going to be an impact player for us. But I saw how the growth in Calvin Austin last year, and that was really... That was cool to see. Watching Roman Wilson this offseason has been, it's been really great to see his progress and where he's at, and I think we would have seen some of it last year if he would have had the opportunity to play. We acquired Robert Woods, a veteran leader in that room. So, I feel really good about that position.
I think they're drinking their Kool-Aid, man. They think that Austin is prime for big things, and they really do see a change in Roman Wilson's body type.
Okay,
now,
the Roman Wilson thing, forget about Austin, who I think in a perfect world is a rock-solid slot receiver and kind of, not specialist, but a guy who can run very fast down the
field seam. Threat.
He's a seam threat, too. He's a guy you want to attack the middle of the field, just let him run by people. The degree to which Roman Wilson, it felt like, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, got buried by Tomlin, and just the way they handled him in general last year, it's a moving train, all that other usual stuff.
Yes, now they're bringing him back to life like he's Lazarus, and they're making him out to be something special.
He's not just like he's Lazarus, he's up there and he's hop, skipping, and jumping, man. It's one of the wildest shifts in how they sort of subtly implied they felt about him last year, coming back from injury, to how they think he's going to perform this year. It would be like a pitcher having a 7 ERA and barely playing, and the next year in the offseason, people going, we actually think he can anchor our rotation.
It's obviously a huge day here with the Steelers reporting to camp. We've heard TJ Watt. We've heard Omar Khan. We'll hear from more Steelers players arriving, like Patrick Queen, Alex Highsmith, new Steeler Juan Thornhill, who's a former Brown, which gets me to this. On this big day, the Pirates swept the Tigers. O'Neal Cruz might get traded. The thing I can't stop paying attention to and watching is this Browns alternate helmet reveal. It's a brown helmet sponsored by Dude Wipes, where the jokes just write themselves. They take the tarp off the inflatable helmet, which is on a raft on Lake Erie, and a photographer falls into the lake. And the thing that's really got me cracking up right now is the mascot's reaction to it. They're all excited to be photographed.
Did the mascot throw like a life preserver at him?
The Dude Wipe mascot starts sauntering over like, oh no, this happened. And it looks like the brown mascot did throw something into the water.
The brown mascot did throw like a life preserver. Can you imagine telling your parents, hey, guess what? Finally got a job out of college. I am the dude wipe guy. I'm the mascot. I have a disturbing piece of business, and it's from that that Cleveland sports account that has a gajillion followers that is like their, I don't know, it's like the Joey Bag of Donuts or whatever.
Okay.
I have he posted something that just said, oof, 59 minutes ago. We missed this. I received insider information from the Browns that the fall was on purpose to make it go viral, which makes it worse.
Yeah.
Is there nothing sacred in this world?
Aditi Kinkabwala joins us right now, NFL on CBS Insider, brought to you by Bet365. Aditi, did you know that this was a spoof or a planned thing?
Is Aditi spoofing us?
I think that we're going to try to go back to the phone here. Are we, or are we going to try to do video? I feel like the video... Okay, we're going to do
phone. We're going to go phone here.
Something about Aditi's gigantic house in Fox Chapel hurts.
She's got to get one of those mesh networks where you plug something into the wall and it boosts the signal. She might need three or four of them for that, for her palatial abode.
In the meantime,
not a problem you and I are familiar with.
Here is Watt on the peace sign cryptic Instagram post he put out earlier this year.
Sometimes it's just fun to have fun with the narratives out there, because I mean, obviously I'm very in tune with what's going on in negotiations and how things are going. It's fun to see what you guys are all writing, thinking that things are one way even though they're completely a different way. So sometimes it's fun, especially when it's early in the off season, to kind of just throw something out there and see what happens. And it stirred things up a lot more than I ever thought it could.
All right, so there's Watt again.
Mr. Giggles, the guy who just loves social media. He just loves paying attention to those narratives and having fun with it.
Aditi, let's circle back on the Browns event
but
today.
First of all, I'm not even in my house. Don't be ripping my house in my community.
We weren't ripping your house. We were saying your house is so
big. I was praising your house.
We were saying your house is so big that it needs like a Wi-Fi booster to reach all the corners.
Please. I'm sitting in a hotel in New Jersey. I was at Jets training camp, and I'm headed to Giants training camp.
When you're in New Jersey, when you're in Jersey, do you feel like you're home, or have you been in Pittsburgh long enough that feels more like home to you now than your original home state?
Ooh, that is such a tough question. No, because your hometown is always your hometown,
right? I was just
in Jersey, Aditi. Like, your home is your home. Were you?
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
I was at Sesame Place, which is outside of Philadelphia, with Stella for her second birthday. And I didn't realize, Malzi, this is how bad I am with geography, unlike you, that where we were staying in Pennsylvania, we could walk across a bridge and we were just in Trenton, New Jersey.
Delaware Water Gap.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I saw where Washington crossed the Delaware. I had never been there before.
Oh, yeah, brother. Yeah. There's like big, it's like a big gorge in some spots.
Mm.
Aditi, by the way,
I was Justin Fields today.
Uh-oh.
And last year, I remember Justin Fields telling me that Pittsburgh was surprisingly cooler, prettier than he expected. And I said, so what do you think of Jersey? And he's like, oh, it's so nice out here. And he's living close to the facility, and he's talking about everything is so green and it's really beautiful, and it makes him think of home. And I said to him, well, you know, as a Jersey girl, that makes me feel
proud.
I got to be honest, Aditi. Hold on, Pony. As somebody who's driven through New Jersey many times, various parts of Jersey, it always just kind of struck me as one enormous suburb. Like, not really anything like
Wannabe
that sticks
New York.
Out. No, it's just like, hey, New York has
Wannabe
like
Philly.
12 million people, and Philly's got 8 million people or whatever, and they all just kind of live somewhere in New Jersey.
Because sometimes you need to escape those big, big cities and all that concrete, those concrete jungles, and you need some fresh air.
Yes, that just happens to smell like a landfill in certain spots.
Moving right along.
Yes, okay,
yes,
so here
I saw that video, I cried.
Yes, so
I cried laughing. But is this really verified that was done on purpose? Because I don't think someone would damage a camera on purpose, right?
What if it was a dummy camera that they didn't need? It was like a prop.
A prop, good point.
Wait, but who is telling you that this was fake?
So
was
there's
fake?
This
just
there's
a random
big,
account
there's
on
a
Twitter
big Cleveland sports account
trusting.
that I'm sure Ken Carmen follows. The guy's got 600,000 followers.
As long as Ken follows, we know that this person's basically 60 Minutes. Got it.
But they are suggesting that this was a staged viral stunt. And honestly, Aditi, do you know what makes me believe that? Unlike most of the things the Browns do, it actually worked.
Yeah, but it got everybody ripping the Browns. Why would they want that?
It got them talking about the helmet.
Yeah, but I don't like. I
do
don't
some
think
digging,
Aditi,
and give
publicity
us.
Publicity is good publicity.
I agree.
Here.
Do some digging here. Use your large
Rolodex.
Again, yes, Rolodex. They don't
My
even
network.
Exist anymore. Yes.
Get
the AK network of sources.
Okay. Or not. Okay.
Here's the random question that popped into my head with Justin Fields, and I demand an answer from you on this. If you had to pick a former Steeler to be most successful with his new team, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Kenny Pickett, who would you go with and why?
Are you asking who do I predict will be the most successful?
Yes. Yes,
or
the
who
Aditi
do
crystal
I
ball.
Want?
No. The crystal ball.
Oh, now she's got a crystal ball. She's got
right
a Rolodex.
I think right now Justin Fields is set up for the most success. Okay. Justin Fields is superior to Russell Wilson at this point of his career. He is extremely charged by what happened last year. I wouldn't call it, it's not that he's never not been focused, but there's certainly a chip. There's a fire. I talked to Garrett Wilson, who obviously played with him at Ohio State, and he said there just seems to be something different in his eyes in terms of how Justin has been affected by what went down last year. He is the starter. Kenny Pickett has to fight for that starting spot. The Giants open up with a murderer's row.
And they just handed the job to Russ today. They handed it to him.
I mean,
no competition.
Sure, but let's see what happens. Let's see what happens, okay? And again, they start with a murderer's row. You look at those first eight games, and again, every player goes into every game thinking that every game is winnable. But we,
especially
as outside
Russ.
Observers,
oh,
look at those
God,
first eight games.
God, does he ever.
Okay?
What's going to be Russ's biggest
Justin has
like
a little
task?
Bit more around him. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's going to be tougher for Russ, all those defenses and teams he has to face or the New York media? Because he's not going to be able to do the Russ platitudes routine with some of them.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how all of that is going to fly.
Not well.
I don't think that's going to go.
Your diplomatic answer there
I do not think
that.
That's going to go very well when he is just spewing the usual motivational stuff.
Aditi, how about the Watt contract? In the end, did TJ get what he wanted from the Steelers, you think?
I think absolutely he did.
No hard
I
feelings.
Mean, what is there to quibble with? It's the same thing that I've been saying from the beginning, though. We knew that they would end up here. Why did we have to go through all this other stuff to get here?
Do you buy this idea at
that's
all?
That's life.
Well, do you buy the
no
idea
pain,
at
no
all
gain.
That people are saying the Steelers got something back from him because he wanted a 5-year deal? I just maintain he wanted pretty much exactly what he got.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident that there was unnecessary
strife.
Whatever you want to call it, gamesmanship, angst, just they were going to end up here, so just do it. But that's what I told you guys months ago. Mm-hmm. And then when you were saying, Pony, that you felt like there was this added stress, I never really thought that he was going to be traded. I never really thought that they weren't going to come to an agreement. But I kept saying, just get it done. Like, you made all these other guys, you showed you had some priority, some ability to find money for them. Just get, obviously, the most important guy done. And they did. And kudos to them. Kudos to them that that's not hanging over them in camp in any way, that there are no distractions, that there will be no questions about it. And when you have arguably your most important player feeling this good, that's only a good thing.
Malzi, ask Aditi the question about Amari Cooper that you keep contemplating and pondering.
Very, very simple question, Aditi. Is there something fundamentally wrong with Amari Cooper that none of us know about? Because I'm scratching my head not only at the Steelers, who presumably could use a solid veteran wide receiver two type of guy, not being seemingly interested in him. I'm also baffled that the other 30 teams, I'll exempt the Bills from this because they just had him, the other 30 teams in the NFL seem equally disinterested in Amari Cooper. What gives there?
You know, honestly, that's something that I should ask some people about, because there's nothing personality-wise or professionally that is a red flag. If anything, he's the consummate professional.
He's the opposite of a diva receiver.
Exactly.
That's what I've heard, too.
Good route runner, great route runner.
Diva-like receiver, correct, that I've ever been around. I don't think that something was lost last year. I remember talking to Bills GM Brandon Bean about him and it wasn't at all that he was missing a step or, I mean, obviously this is a guy, he understands every offense and he can draw plays up in the dirt. I've covered games where he has, and they've led to touchdowns. I don't know. So when I don't know the answer, I'll tell you, I don't know, but he is someone that I should ask after. I'll get back to you on that one too. Okay. So the dude wipes, was that a stunt? And Amari Cooper, two things to get back to you on.
Yes. And there's you want to talk about, especially in the case of the first one, just a hard-hitting football story
and
that Aditi, people need a solution.
You are
going to
go viral if you get an answer there.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
are going to blow up. So yeah. This is going to be a 100%. Great career opportunity
if
for
you get somebody to go on the record and say, yeah, you know what, we were trying to mess with people, it was a viral stunt, that's a summer maker for you. That's a huge story.
I have to tell you, my involvement with the Browns organization, I have a really, really, really hard time believing that the Browns signed off on that. And I don't know that, would Dude Wipes go rogue and do that all on their own?
Dude Wipes goes rogue.
Aditi, would Dude Wipes go rogue and do that is one of the great sentences or phrases that's ever been uttered by anyone on this show.
Enjoy New Jersey and that like weird role thing that people obsess over.
You have a message you want me to give Russ tomorrow?
Yeah, tell him to stop acting like a robot, like when he met me and he acted like he was programmed
ask
by
him
George
if he remembers.
Jetson.
Ask him if he remembers Andrew Filippone, because I have never seen somebody stiff-arm the pony effort to make small talk.
Playing in that game.
Like, Wilson just brushed him off like he was an oncoming pass rusher, and it was 2012 still. Like, it was incredible, Aditi.
Kyle Van Noy at the end of the year. All right, thank you, Aditi. We'll talk again soon. Goodbye.
Have a great day, guys.
Well, here's where the show goes off the rails. The Donnie Football Debrief brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Intern Dom in for Donnie, who was at the Pirates game today, their good luck charm for their sweep of the first place Tigers. Dom has a propensity to self-sabotage shows here in the debrief and bring up topics that are nonsensical and irrelevant to what we should be talking about. So take it away, Dom.
Malzy, you know what I feel like right now? I feel like the nerdy kid in school going to the playground and approaching the bully. As I prepare to give my debrief to Pony. Because every time I do this, he just, you know, belittles me and
makes fun
of me. Well,
that's because your track record here is so poor. If you do a good one, I will lavish you with praise, but it
I've been told I do great debriefs.
By who?
People. Like, the audience.
The audience. So just coming up to you on the street and saying, you know what you do good when you present the biggest football topic of the day at 4:30.
Sean Myers said he liked one of the topics I did.
So if you're the nerd and he's the bully, what does that make me in this school analogy?
The bystander, because you don't do anything about it.
Okay, that actually makes him guilty by association.
True.
He's not doing anything about
it. Guilty on which side? I'm not stopping you from bullying him, or I'm not stopping him from doing asinine stuff that makes you bully him.
Fair. What do you got today?
So there's a couple opinions being thrown around. Nick Wright has said that he believes Nick Saban, who is a free agent, essentially, would make a great fit for the Bengals. Colin Cowherd has said that Nick Saban would make a great fit for the Browns if either of those two teams decided to move on from their head coach. Here's what intern Dom says. And I tweeted this last week, just kind of an idea that floated in my mind.
Yep.
If the Steelers season completely bottoms out this year,
yep,
and the Steelers and Mike Tomlin decide, you know what, it's best that we move on, I got to be honest. I don't think Nick Saban would be the worst idea the Steelers could come up with as their new head coach, at least for the next few seasons, because he is clearly the best college coach of all time. And the Steelers are going into a draft where they're going to have to select their quarterback for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So why not bring in Nick Saban, have him pick out which college QB he thinks is the best, develop him, raise him. And then after a couple years, whenever Nick Saban decides to retire, he retires.
Because there's absolutely no proof that Nick Saban could develop a quarterback in college. That's why.
Correct.
So that's why the Joe Burrow situation with the Bengals would make more sense. But the Cleveland thing would not, because he would be tasked with turning Arch Manning into a legit NFL quarterback. My rebuttal to the Nick Wright, my buddy, saying that Nick Saban should go coach Joe Burrow, is why not just ask Bill Belichick to do that instead? Why not just take the proven NFL head coach and pair him with the great NFL quarterback, opposed to his friend who has zero success in the NFL? Saban was a good coordinator with the Browns,
His tenure in Miami was a disaster.
Well, if they didn't fail Drew Brees' physical, then he probably would have succeeded for
many
years.
There are plenty of stories, though, about players just basically not respecting him and the hard-ass act just not playing for him. It just didn't work in the pros when guys were making that much money. He also got out of the college game once the NIL stuff really started to pick up steam.
Yeah, I'm on Mulsey's side here.
Okay, but are you going to hold that against him? He left Miami and won a championship at LSU.
I think Nick Saban was at his best when there was the quiet network in Tuscaloosa of, like, boosters making sure everyone was well taken care of, but it was kind of under the table, and he could still run that whole thing as, like, judge, jury, and executioner, the emperor. I think he's now 73, a guy with, as Pony put it, a bad NFL head coaching track record, and I don't like the idea of bringing in a guy at that age and telling him, in the Browns case, you've got to overhaul this dysfunctional franchise. Or frankly, in the Bengals case, you've got to work for this tight-ass owner who you're probably going to butt heads with. Yes, you have Joe Burrow, but fix the defense. Oh, by the way, your best player on that side doesn't want to show up, and neither does your first-round draft pick.
I would give him a much better chance of making that work than the Cleveland
situation. Because there's a Joe Burrow the factor there, because he's
right
there.
I also will stick up for Zach Taylor for a second here. He's had 2 years where they've missed the playoffs in a row. One of them was because Burrow was hurt. He went 9-8. If we're going to be consistent about things, if Tomlin gets credit for 8-8 with Mason Rudolph and Duck, Zach Taylor should get credit for 9-8 with Jake Browning. Now, last year was on him. He had a horrible year. They should never go 9-8 with Joe Burrow as their quarterback, especially with the way Burrow played. So he is coming off a horrendous year. But I don't think Nick Saban is an upgrade over him.
There's no reason to believe that in the NFL, Nick Saban is an upgrade over most coaches.
And speaking of...
People said the same thing about Pete Carroll, though, and he went from USC to Seattle flawlessly. But
Pete Carroll had coached in the NFL with two different teams before that.
You knew he had like coached the Patriots before USC, right?
No, yes, I didn't. Yes, I did know that.
Did you?
Yes, I swear to God I did. I'm just saying we've seen coaches go from college to the NFL when people didn't think it would work out and it turned out, you know, to work for. I'm just saying, first of all, I don't think Mike Tomlin's going anywhere. I'm just trying to be creative and think, well, if Mike Tomlin does move on.
Dom, without looking it up, can you name the other team besides so far New England and Seattle that Pete Carroll did coach in the NFL as the head coach?
Chicago? The Jets.
Okay, that's not bad. He got there.
You recovered nicely, but I feel like somebody helped you.
Don't try and make me look bad during the debrief, Mulsey.
I'm not trying to make you look bad. You do that well enough by yourself.
I appreciate that.
I don't think intern Jack knew that he coached the Jets because that happened before he was alive.
Speaking of Saban and Belichick, did you see what Pat Narduzzi said about Belichick today?
I did not. This is intriguing.
No.
ACC Media Day.
Has my interest peaked?
I expect North Carolina to be in the championship game against Pitt this year. Mm. You got Bill Belichick. You better be, right?
I'm not so sure that is right.
In fact, it's wrong, quite frankly.
Well, yeah, because you're going
to
say
what
like,
is more
Duke
wrong?
Will be there.
Is it more wrong to put North Carolina in that game, or is it more wrong of Pat to put his school in that game?
Yes.
Well, they're both wrong. I mean, Clemson might be the best team in the country, so they're clearly in the mix. And, you know, North Carolina, I have zero faith in them. And Pitt, I have even less than zero faith in them.
Did you see the other thing about Pat today that was kind of funny? And it's July 23rd, and Pat is very much in midseason form. He's in his bag. Eli Holstein did not go down there with them, and he had gone down there, and there were people wondering, is there something afoot basically here? Pat said, there is nothing to see here. Eli is our quarterback. I've brought quarterbacks down the last year or two, and it's been bad luck for us, and so I am not doing that this year. That is a very Pat thing to do. The man is in his bag right now.
Mulsey, I have a college football question for you, by the way.
Okay, we're all over the map on this
debrief,
but let's do it.
Well, Pony kind of took it off the map, so I have a question for you.
Let's go.
So I'm officially going to the Oregon-Penn State game in late September.
Oh, yeah, because you're a Syracuse student who still roots for Penn State. You pulled my stunt with Pitt and Penn State.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And ticket prices right now are about $400, and on a part-time producer salary, I simply can't afford that. So do you think I just suck it up and buy $400 tickets right now, or do I wait until prior to game time to buy them.
Wait a minute. Why do you think? Oh, because he went to Penn State.
Right.
So you're thinking he's the authority on this, even though he was there 20 years
ago? I mean, back in the day, like, you'd get six tickets, like your six home games or whatever, Dom. And, like, I think I paid $45 for the entire thing.
Well, that doesn't help me with my question.
That's what I mean. So wait till closer to.
I'm afraid prices will just start going even further up, closer to game time.
Well, not if Penn State stubs its toe and loses one of those gauntlet games against Nevada, Villanova,
so it's funny.
Florida International.
It's funny because Pony kind of gave you my answer. I was thinking about how I wanted to say it, but yeah, assuming both teams come in as we expect them to, which is unbeaten.
Right.
The dangerous game you are playing is this. If you don't buy them now, you absolutely could just be up you-know-what creek close to the game, but there is almost always a situation, and Pony and I have a friend who I think can speak to this, in those games where somebody's holding on to tickets that for some reason they can't offload and they drop the price right before, but you got to have nerves of steel to play that little game. And I don't see you as a nerves of steel guy.
I do. I mean, I have nerves of steel.
Can
I
just deal with the idea of not getting into the stadium to watch that game if you don't score
tickets?
He's
going to get in if he goes. There's 108,000 seats there. How many
people
are you going
with? I mean,
Dom
could hide in somebody's backpack that you can take in legally and just pop out.
But they, listen, I've been to a couple Penn State games. They take this stuff very seriously. It's a whiteout game. It's a night game. I mean, I'm already going to try and sneak into the student section, so I'm already doing shady stuff to begin with.
Here's a thought. Wait
a
minute.
Phone.
Try to get credentialed.
I don't think I'm getting credentialed.
Wait a minute.
You're doing it as, I don't want to say
Wait
doing
a minute.
It for the fan.
Wait
but
a minute, time out here.
Get why, credentialed.
Why couldn't he try to get a credential through the fan? We're in, like, Penn State is
Pittsburgh team, according to Bechtold.
Right.
Say you're covering it
no,
for
but
us.
Hold on a second, though, but Pittsburgh outlets do cover Penn
yes,
State.
Yes, they do.
I don't think somebody else from the station
that's a massive
is going
game.
To the game.
It is a huge game with national implications.
See, now we're getting somewhere.
But here's the problem for
you. Do
you
want to be drunk at the game?
You would actually have to go and work. I would not tell you get a credential and then just go act a fool, hide the credential.
Yeah, see, that's
if you want to go get drunk, then you can't do this. But if you are willing to, you just want to be there and be in the environment.
I think you should go
to
the game
a little
and
bit.
Cover it. And if Penn State loses, I think you should be there asking James Franklin very hard-hitting questions afterwards.
And if Penn State wins,
you're just the guy to do it, too.
If Penn State wins, you calmly ask whatever questions, send the sound back, and they'll go get absolutely rocked at one of the bars
I'm
after
with
that.
Malsy here.
I think this is your solution, and it's free for you. For God's sake, we all actually like you. Hathorn would absolutely try to get you credentialed.
Yep.
So it would be through Jeff. Jeff would be the one
yes,
that has to get me credentialed.
But absolutely. All I'm telling you have to do is don't be a jackwagon. Go in there, sober Sue.
Right.
Cover the game, win or lose. Do the job, i.e. send the sound back here and send back what you get. You know how to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
Pack your stuff up wherever you're staying and go get drunk at the bars after. This is very simple.
See, it's a good idea.
Oh, here we go.
Well, no, hold on. It's a good idea, and I'm certainly mulling it over. But this might be the only time I would get to sit in the student section during a whiteout
game.
It's
overrated.
All right,
you get
just
food
go
in the press box. Come on.
I do like free food. No, this is a very good solution, and I'm glad we came to the conclusion, and I think we should
yes.
look into it.
Well, again, I'm happy that we did a self-serving Donnie Football debrief where in the end
are you kidding me?
It circled back to something that is going to benefit you that is of no interest to our listeners whatsoever.
No, I had
how does Dom get into a Penn State football game? That's what you should label the Donnie Football debrief for the day. Put that in the show notes. This was not about something interesting for the show. You were just looking for the right time to ask a question that helped make your life better.
You're full of it. I had a very good topic. You essentially dismissed it. You barely
even
talked.
We didn't dismiss it. We answered it.
Nah, yeah. But it was like, you didn't give, you guys, when.
No, I'm sorry. We didn't give, like, you know, a long-winded political address to answer your question.
Yeah, did you want me to filibuster on your Nick Saban thing? I don't know
you
what
guys
else
are
you
two of the
me.
Best radio hosts in the country.
And 7 years ago.
You guys are two of the best radio hosts in the country. I'm going to be honest, that wasn't your best stuff because I think you were taking it seriously. So yeah, I asked a question.
Yes,
and by the way,
you pivoted to something that was only about you and of zero interest to the rest of people listening.
Oh,
Jack
I guarantee.
Practically fell asleep next to you in there. There was drool falling out of his mouth.
Jack was having a great, I guarantee you the YouTube comments loved it.
Donnie Football Debrief brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking
YouTube
experience.
Comment, when are Dom's balls going to drop? That's an interesting one.
That's
all
a fair
right.
question.
All right. I didn't. Okay.
What do you want me to say? You want me to engage?